Yeah, we do 68. 268.
Woo!
come together this much more. Without internet access to, and it doesn't matter if we ever end up, we end up in the world city, as we trust the master of the world. Through our confession that we have said it with a good flesh, that will look at grace. That we want to worry that we have ourselves to be to take that holy righteousness. If we have a sin, defile and pollute it, yet we trust Heavenly Father that we are among the blessed number, that is basically by grace, and then basically the Lord is our burdens. Blessed righteousness, sanctification and justification of that people. We trust the Lord that it is Him who keepeth the time with us. Thou hast blessed us to come. In thy name and for the sake of Jesus. The God of the Heavenly Father bless each one. Give a thankful heart, and we might pray every Father for our good each other, and we might thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy, which we deal with fatherless all the days of our lives. We, Heavenly Father, do not deceive in our hope, and in the years to come, now reveal in our hearts Thy love, and in Thy mercy, bless us, Heavenly Father, to the death, and our sins, and our iniquities, to confess them before Thee, and Thou may have a cry. May come to us, O Lord, if we're not deceived. Lord, have mercy on our iniquities. Lay it on me, thy only begotten Son, thou who will end the Calvary for the crown, manifest it to us in due time, that they're all worth forgiving us. Now enable us, holy and righteous Father, to rejoice in the glorious thought. Thou who brought us to realize that Thou canst not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. O righteous Father, we have this hope. For all these many years that we are among the blessed number, whom the writer referred to, and he said to have saved us and called us. Yet the only calling is that not according to our works, but according to Thy purpose and Thy grace, which is given us in Thy Son before the world began. The Lord deceived, but Thou remembered the years that it can hear. Open our hearts, Heavenly Father, enable us that we may receive the word, and that we, trusting that we are a true servant of Thee, may be able to speak comfortably to Jerusalem, that we may comfort those who are in Zion, that we may cry aloud and stir up and lift up our voice, crying to Jerusalem that a war fire is accomplished, that her Father in heaven, who art in this thy holy and righteous will, visit them with the visitation of thy Holy and of thy Spirit. Speak comfortably unto them, speak unto them, O heart, that thou art yet God, and thou wilt ever live by this promise, thou wilt never leave nor forsake thy people, but be with them all the way, even unto the end. Bless each one, Heavenly Father, that we may live from time to time, that the Lord is our shepherd, and in thee shall not want. Who are then, without a member of this church, who thou ask for our Heavenly Father such a time, who have to be saved, may receive the Lord, many of thy children, coming home to their friends, testifying the fact that this is thy mercy, when the good things have been so richly manifested, are the land who given them all of their sins and their iniquities, giving them a love to the church for thy people, who are now remembered, those living out in here, and this church, who are remembered by churches in the university, who are holy, now as to many circumstances, and us surrounding them, Father, we realize how thy all seem high, how thou dost ever behold of the afflictions of thy people, regardless of where they are. O Lord, pity one, those that greet the husband at home, wherever they be. O Lord, ye may then say, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. O Lord, continue thy mercy with us. Not only in this little service, but on the good days that lay ahead, may we ever find the Lord, thy grace is sufficient, and thy grace forever bound over sin, that we may be able to have a world with thee, thou hast won over death and iniquity. When thou hast finished thy righteous will with us, in the program of sin and sorrow, we can give you to this sinful world, being that this one home unto thy Lord, and we may die in the glorious highest of faith, and we want to live to the saints. Let you Father bless the day and the appearing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath the Father's death, brought life and more time to life to the gospel, who may be delivered into that eternal city, that home that will not be returned, eternal to heaven, there to join all the needs of the Lord, and the glory shall be praised to thy name. In that world that should have the leader, who is an old lesson, who is not the ask in the name, and for the sake of Jesus, amen.
Say, Lord, I will praise thee, for thou wast angry with me, and angry turned away, and thou comfortest me. The O God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. With joy shall he draw water out of the well of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, which is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I read this scripture and I don't know what the future holds. It will be bad if it's the Lord's will to bless you. So if you have to speak the truth, then we might be comforted. Then we might be strengthened. And your man, realizing as I have expressed many, many times in rising before the Lord's people, as far as I'm concerned, I'm helpless, realize without the Lord I can do nothing. Trusting, I hope. And three times I have realized the truth of what Paul said, that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. The Lord must strengthen us each time that we are blessed to lift up our voice in praise to him, or to feel his high exalted name in our heart. David, this is really the 12th chapter of Isaiah. This is a very short chapter, yet it must contain in it more than I would be able to mention and feel sure. But in thinking of the expression that the prophet used here at the beginning of this scripture, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. In that day, I believe that in reading the prophecy of old, reading the Old Testament, after those who were blessed to write it, speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in many instances, that it was speaking directly of the time that he would make his advent into this world. The time that he must be born to the Virgin Mary, as it is expressed, the day in which the Savior, Christ the Lord, should be born into the world. They say many of the expressions in that day is referring to that, and this is also, and yet I feel that it covers not just that day, but many other days. in that day, denoting a particular day, a particular time, that he said, Thou shalt say, Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger turned away, and thou comforted me. Even though it covers, we believe, the day that Jesus Christ was born to the Virgin Mary, that day that is spoken of, that this Bible should be open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and unrighteousness. And in that day shall this song be sung, we have a strong city, salvation will God appoint the walls and will work. Many other scriptures referring to the wonderful work that will be accomplished in this day that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to earth. Yet we feel, as I stated, that he has more under consideration than that. And there are people who are confident that the Lord has revealed this truth too. We know that quite often we hear people infer that this written word is the sole comforter of the Lord's people. And that we can turn to the written word of God, that is the letter, this Bible, and find comfort. Now that is true, and the Lord blesses his people to that end. When it's the day in which it pleased him to set apart to reveal himself to his people and enable them to, they of course worship his name. But this, in this particular day, I believe covers it is experimental to the Lord's people. No doubt in my mind that you can go back in your experience. Remembering what I said just briefly concerning the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and finished even that his entire life that was spoken of as one day. That is, that which he accomplished. I believe it is spoken by one of the prophets speaking of a nation being delivered in one day. And so in thinking of the coming of Jesus being a particular day, even we think of the days and the years that he lived here in this world was to God one day. And he accomplished the salvation of the Church of God. And when this truth is revealed in the hearts of the Lord's people, I believe that that also is a special day. It's in that day in which the Lord's power is made manifest. You know, one of the writers said that my people shall be a willing people in the day of my power. That doesn't all mean that he doesn't have all power all the time, but in the day that he revealed this power. And it's in that day that his people are enabled to sing this song. Night unto night showeth power, and day unto day utters speech. In other words, that which the Lord reveals to his people in the night time, that is when his darkness prevails, not necessarily being when the natural sun has gone down, but when it's darkness in their heart and soul. They're walking, yet they realize that they need a leader. They realize that they need light. And that's exactly what Jesus, by his divine spirit, appears to them. He lights their pathway. He is their light and their life and their salvation. Certainly in that day when they know the riches of his grace, the writer said to the Isaiah, they shall say, O Lord, I will praise thee. I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Now we do not believe that the prophet meant that the Lord becomes angry with his people as we would each other
that he's talking about the administration of the divine spirit. Almighty God is bringing his people to the place that they will appreciate and thank him for his mercy and revealing his kindness to them. To the young man, I hope I have experienced it. To me, when the Lord showed me that I was a sinner and revealed to me what I must be by his sovereign grace, it appeared to me that God could occupy the one position than to be angry with me, because I'd sinned all the days of my life. I have been mindful of his mercy, and yet he, according to his loving kindness, he had been thinking of me all the time. In that that he revealed to me that I was a sinner, let him see how two things could be brought together. That was for the Lord to have mercy upon one such a vile sinner as I was. And I believe that this is the experience of all the Lord's people that know what this writer was talking about when he said, "Thou wast angry with me." But here is the day wherein that he says that his anger is turned away. And he says he will praise the Lord. And he says, in turning away this anger, thou comfortest me. How does the Lord comfort his people? It is by giving them a catalog of commandments, and not speaking against the commandments, but I'm telling you that no man in this place is able to fulfill the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the natural man deceiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for their foolishness to him. And the natural man is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we are depraved sinners when we were born into the world, and we yet are without the sovereign grace of God. But the Lord, in his infinite goodness and tender mercy, thought in eternity about a people that he loved. And he turned his grace in his Son sufficient that he had today, that he had appointed, that he would reveal to them a wonderful work that he made upon his Son to do for them in redeeming them from under the curse and condemnation of the law, give them enough of hope and comfort them as poor worms of the dust. Comfort them by manifesting to them that he knew before they knew themselves. He knew more about them than he knew about themselves. And he knew from all eternity our frame and that all together. He knew that every way that Adam would take, he knew the way that you and I would take as the offspring of Adam. Therefore he knew that if these people would drive the Lamb's wife out of his heaven and mark of glory, that God himself would have to prepare the offering, that he would have to send forth his Son into this world to fulfill this righteous and holy law that had been transgressed by his people. So when he revealed the truth in the hearts of his people, it was a comfort to them to learn and be taught that God loved them from all eternity, and to know that it was not by works of righteousness that we'd done, but according to his mercy and his grace, that he has quickened us into divine life and brought us to the wonderful knowledge that he come not to call the righteous but sinners to repent, that he loved sinners, that he came into the world to save sinners, to save them from their sins. And that he accomplished that work upon the cross. It is simply this doctrine when the Lord blesses one to receive it. It is the doctrine that lifts the child of God up, and in his heart enables him to praise the Lord. As he did David when the Lord revealed to him how what he done for him, he could say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, praise his holy name." This was the day that God had set apart to manifest his love and his mercy and what he done for his people. in that day, I will praise the Lord. And I believe I hear anyone who is talking to that. Yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has not been born into the world. But this is the people that he referred to, that he said, behold, God is my salvation. Why did he say that? Simply because he had seen God had given him to me, and the power to exercise himself to the point that he was made to see that he could not meet the just demands of a holy and righteous law. That there was nothing he could do, and without the mercy and the grace of God, he was gone worlds without end. Brought into the end of the strength, his own strength. And I believe that it was this same writer that said, I've come unto you all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. So it's that Jesus, you know, Jesus does appear while a man's working unto that person while he's working under the law, trying to justify himself for the deeds of the law. Well, there, the Lord Jesus Christ does not reveal himself as a Savior unto that individual until he's brought to the end of the law. When he's brought to the end of the law, then Jesus appears as his righteousness. He appears as his salvation. He appears as his all in all, and the true child of God can see how that Christ is his wisdom, that he's not a man that walketh in the righteous step, but Jesus said, I put my sheep forth, I go before them, I lead them in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. And he could go and say, David did, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Let me tell you, my friend, my brethren and sisters, when you can feel the presence of this eternal, sovereign, almighty God, you don't fear the horse and the rider, you fear God, but because you know that he has the power to speak, yes, to condemn you before him, and you have to acknowledge that if he did that, it would be just. You have nothing to cling to but mercy. Did you know that the only one that can just receive mercy is one that is condemned? And not justly so. And that person is brought to the place if they feel the need of mercy. And they are the recipient of mercy. A person that is not guilty, certainly I will not want mercy. They would want justice. But the Lord brings his people to a place that they don't seek justice. No, I'm glad even today that God don't give me what I rightly deserve, but he still has mercy upon me and blesses me in such a wonderful way. I believe I know in some way that God has revealed to me about all the days of my life that he has remembered me according to the multitude of my sins. That he's had mercy upon my unrighteousness, and he's manifested to me that in all of my salvation, and it is all of my salvation, that's all I need. That's sufficient to take care of me in time, and sufficient to take care of you in time, and to take you home to eternal glory in the end. That's the salvation of that other Lord appointed up of walls and bulwark to protect the church of God here in time, and the same salvation of the Lamb every jewel of God's mercy safely across to the waters, to that eternal city, that home that is awaiting the children of God. So he said, behold, the Lord has become all of our salvation. Have you got any other salvation today? Did you have any when the Lord first revealed himself to you? Have you ever had any salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ? If you think you have, you're just like that much of knowing the truth. And because this writer said, and I believe it's the experience of every child of grace, that the Lord has become all of my salvation. And he goes on and said, I am trusted, not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. If God is your strength, and he's your refuge, it is a shelter in the time of storm, and his promise to keep you. Do you need any more? You know, the report says, what more can we say than to you? He hath already said, when we're blessed in the true spirit, that is the real description of that to stand there. We didn't believe in
to his people here in Zion, and then they exalt God. They don't look at him as being a little puny person that's wanting somebody to accept him and further reject him. And if he's disappointed because heaven will be full, but he's already, that's already been done. And he was done by the Lord Jesus Christ according to that which God purposed from all eternity to be done. And I want to say that everyone for whom Jesus Christ died upon the cross, their home is just as secure as if they were already there. Because it never has been and never will be up to them. Not a work says that an man should boast. No, but they were his workmanship, created in Christ, of the good works with God before me, that we can walk in them. Let me tell you, the Lord will call everyone, and in that day he will reveal the truth to them that they will walk in that work that God has ordained from the work of his work in. And Jesus said that this is the work of God, that you believe on the Son and the Father has sent. Can you think of a more wonderful work than that? And if you believe in it, he can believe it from the heart, and therefore it is in the heart. And if it's in the heart, that's where the treasure is. And if it's there the treasure is, that is where all of your inclination, all your desire is, when you're blessed to see the truth. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is working in the hearts of his people. All your desire is for the house of the Lord. I believe David said, this is my whole desire. It wasn't just a part of it. It wasn't just one desire, but my whole desire. That he might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That he might wonder, see the wonder working of the mighty power of God into his kingdom. So when you see this is what God is going to seek, and every time that this work is brought in the sinner's heart, you'll find the seeker. And the person doesn't seek rightly so because the preacher tells it to or somebody else. But it seeks because of that inward work that is going on inside. The Lord shows him enough that he wants to see more. He desires to see more. He desires to understand more. And certainly he will seek after. And whenever it comes that day, you know, David was in the spirit on the Lord's day when he saw the church high lifted up. When he saw the bride coming down from heaven, as he saw the church coming down from heaven, as he bore the Lord for a husband, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is one of the days that God had appointed to reveal the truth to him. Now then, what did Indian have to do with it? In their ignorance, they sent him on in exile, and because they thought they had beheaded, they had taken the lion. I think of all the just very few of the apostles except John, and they thought they were getting rid of it once and for all. They exiled him on the Isle of Patmos to get rid of it and to get rid of this doctrine. But you know what John said about it? He said he was there to receive the testimony and the word of God. You see, he didn't look at it like the people who sent him there looked at it. Why? Because he had something in him. He had the wisdom of God, and he could look beyond the evil. That was in the being part of his sinning there. They thought it for evil, but God meant it for good. And in that, he enabled John to write the book of Revelation. And it was written just as much then for the people of God today and everyone that yet are born, as it was, especially to John, for him to rejoice in it and read his title clear, the message in the sky. So you see, he rejoiced in it, and his people today rejoice in it, just like the Lord when he faced some of his servants in prison, and they wrote some wonderful hymns that we sing today. Under trying circumstances, as it was the top lady, when we have it on record, that he hit a rock of ages death for me, and when John Newton could have made his grace, and many of these old writers, I wonder sometimes if it ever even entered their minds, that we and the people today would sing those same songs and rejoice in them. But nevertheless, it's the truth. God is just revealing to his people that he was there with them, and to them it was their time. The
in the church come, they could rejoice in it and see that God was overruling all the wickedness of men through his David's honor and praise. And you know the Lord has to do that every time that we sing his praise. He has to overrule our flesh. He has to bring us in want. He has to bring us in need. That's the reason that Jesus said what he did in the 10th book of Matthew. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now he's saying, you know, a person that is poor means to say he's destitute. And these people feel destitute of the very thing the Armenians both so lack. I don't know whether you ever thought of that, but Jesus said, blessed are the poor. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for those in the kingdom of heaven, the very one that feels poverty forsaken and in dire need. And wonder if they'd ever done anything about the grace of God, is the very one that's in the second of it. For there is the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord appointed me that his people should be poor. And afflicted. And yet they trust in the Lord, and that's why they do it. Because the Lord supplies their need. They can't buy their own works to tend to these things. So it looks to me like sometimes that though I can't preach it, the fullness of it is I desire, but I believe the Lord blessed me to see it and blessed me to believe it. And it seems to me sometimes they never have to see it, yet I know that God has given it from. Because he said in Jesus thanked his Father that it was so. He did these things for the wise and prudent, and revealed them to them, and as long as I was wise and prudent in my own estimation, the Lord would held it from me. But he brought me to a place to realize that I was poor and needy. He tested me. I was happy. They're just a poor sinner. And that has followed me. And he added something to that. I was there all the time, but in my experience, he added grace. So that I could say, now I trust in by the grace of God that I am what I am. And that's my hope. As the poet said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I often think about people who sing hymns like that. The word that is true. The hope of the child of God sings to Jesus. And you know, Jesus sings to me. There's a drawing together. Just as much joy, you know, I think of what Sunder says. I think about what one of the writers said, I believe this. And the joy in heaven over one sinner repentant. You know, Jesus rejoiced when he thought of the deliverance of the church of God. When he saw what he was had come to do and could see, as the apostle said, for the crown that was he endured the cross and despised the shame for the glory. That was set before him, he did this. I didn't quote that quote scripture in the Greek, but nevertheless, the substance of it. That he could do this for the glory that was set before him. And that glory was to redeem the church of God. He came under the, he was bound under that, the law to do that. And he came and he did it. He satisfied the will of the Father. May the Lord continue his mercy. He blessed us with an understanding heart. I believe it really has to be right there to do with all the church and conference and enjoyable any business that may come before the church.
Amazing grace, how sweet Amen.